Thanks again to the Shoreline Community Church for the opportunity to speak. I appreciate that. So, who is Onesimus? I appreciate Tucker and the introduction there. And also Mark commenting about how, as we go through Scripture stuff, how God, not just necessarily in Scripture, in life itself, how God utilizes so many various different people to present his word, and this is another one. Who is Onesimus? Now, he's mentioned only two times in Scripture, and it's very brief. he's mentioned in Colossians, both times by Paul, by the way. He's mentioned in Colossians, and then obviously in Philemon. And he is actually the driving force for the letter in Philemon. But we'll get into that more as we go farther on. Again, there's not a whole lot about him, but there's enough that we can put together a little trail here. First off, about the letter from Philemon, from Paul. It is Paul's most personal letter. It is directed directly to Philemon. He does mention in verses 1 through 4 in his greeting, and it's kind of a typical greeting that Paul uses in all his books, but he does address it to Philemon and then to his wife and to his son. But it is mainly directed towards Philemon himself. Now, there are other books that Paul wrote that are personal, but not to this effect. Timothy is an example. He wrote directly to Timothy. However, in the books of Timothy, there is a lot of instruction and teaching that presented to all the churches, where this is instruction and teaching, but not so much in the level that was. So hence the most personal letter. So, who is Onesimus? Got to get the name right here. I actually had to type these names into the internet, where they have a program that will pronounce them for you so I can learn these things. It's terrible. But it is nice to have, I tell you. Onesimus is a slave. We know that through, I think it's spelled out in verse 16, but we'll get to that. He's one of many slaves that was in the Roman Empire. Roman Empire had millions. He was one of millions of slaves in the Roman Empire. A lot of these slaves came about through war, a lot of war between Rome and Greece. So a lot of them were Greeks. A lot of these slaves were actually Romans themselves that ended up in slavery for, you know, an example would be like indebtedness or something. So they end up being a slave to that person. Onesimus was a slave to Philemon. And Philemon lived in Colossae, in the area around Colossae. And we know through Paul's letter to the Colossians, it's verse 4, chapter 1, or chapter 4, verse 1, that many in that church had slaves. 4:1 says, "Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Now, we also know that Paul addressed the master and slave issue in other areas, but in Colossians he definitely talked. So we know that there was more than just Philemon that had slaves at that time. Onesimus chose, for whatever reason at the time, to steal from Philemon and escape, ran away. And there's not much information. And if you look at a map where Colossae is and Rome, Onesimus has worked his way quite a bit of territory and ended up in Rome. And we do not know the circumstances or how, but he crossed paths with Paul. And Paul's in imprisoned. He might be in the house imprisonment. But Paul, in turn, leads Onesimus to Christ. He's now a believer. So, this is the driving point of the letter. Now, a couple things we got to keep in mind when we go into this letter. It's short, but there's quite a bit in it. And as I look at it, and as I read through it and stuff, this is an issue or concern that involved believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's so much we can glean through this as we look at how Paul addressed this situation to a fellow believer involving another believer. Unfortunately, as brothers and sisters, we have issues, we have concerns. This is kind of a nice little letter to show how to approach and see how things work. A couple other things we got to keep in mind. This is a letter, not a conversation. So it's kind of one-sided. We know what Paul is saying. We do have hints as to what Philemon did. And we'll get to that as we go through it. And the other thing we got to, there's a couple things we got to keep in mind as we go through this. One of the big things in dealing with brothers and sisters, and especially in Christ, is the maturity level. And I bring that up because when we look at these three characters, you got Paul, an apostle. Now, of course, we've heard before what Jerry's talked about. An apostle is someone that has been taught directly by Jesus. So we have no apostles today. But Paul was an apostle, and Jesus gave them a command, authority, to create or develop the church. Create or develop the church doesn't sound right. It's the wrong words. So Paul has that authority directly from Jesus. So I would put his mature level up here. He's pretty mature. Of course, we know that through all the books that he's written and so on. He is pretty solid. Philemon. We know, going back through Scripture, and it talks about it late in this writing, that Paul, in his early missionary trips, actually brought Philemon to Christ in the early church. And Philemon, as we go through, and Tucker expressed that, as we read through here, there's a lot of praise for Philemon in the early part of this letter. So we know Philemon is very active, very solid in the church there, and interacting with other believers, very supportive. And then we have Onesimus, who stole from Philemon, wandered the countryside, ran away. By the way, back then, if a slave took off like that, they were executed. If they got caught, they were executed. That was the, that's the way things were. But here's a young Christian. So we got Paul up here, very mature. We got Philemon, who's pretty solid maturity level on a scale. It's probably the wrong way to look at it as a scale, but we're going to do that. And then we got Onesimus, who's fairly new to it, but pretty, very active. And we'll find out about how active he is as we go through. And that part in Colossians will explain what Onesimus actually ends up. But he's not very mature yet, let's say. So as we go through this letter, and if we use this letter as an idea of how to address issues and concerns, we got to keep in mind the level of maturity, young Christian, mature Christian. We got to keep that kind of in mind in how we approach and deal with certain things. So with that, I actually came up with three ideas. The first one, and I'm sorry we didn't have any papers to hand out. The first one I gleaned from the chapters or verses 4 through 7. acknowledge the gift that the person has. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is letting Philemon know that he is thanking God for putting Philemon in his mouth, in his life, and the joy that that brings to him. I mean, very good high praise for what Philemon means to Paul. Because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. As I said, Paul had led Philemon to Christ in an earlier trip to Colossae. We understand this from verse 19. Verse 19 talks about, I, Paul, am writing this in my own hand. I will repay it. Anyways, down here, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. He led Philemon to Christ. We'll talk a little more about that as we get there. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for the sake of Christ. For I have had great joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Philemon don't know his specific gift, but it has something to do with how he is working within the church, working with fellow believers, refreshing them, building them up, probably to the point of maybe even discipling each one in Christ. So Paul starts this letter out and is really giving the praise and thanks and what it means to him and how much he appreciates what he is doing. Kind of building him up. You've probably heard in the workforce, if you have an issue with an employee, you usually bring them in. If you're in a supervision mode or position, you bring them in. You don't immediately jump on the issue, because that'll shut them down right off the bat. Then they get angry and they probably won't do what you do. So what you do is you talk about something that they've done good. Usually somewhere there's something that they did good, even if it's just show up on time. I hate to say that. Then you hit them. Whoa, that came in loud, didn't it? Whoa.
That's perfect.
Yeah, what timing, right? But then when you're done, you don't leave them just totally distressed. You kind of pump them back up a little bit and then out to work. And then the third time they do it, you let them go. But anyways, Paul is kind of taking this approach with Philemon, letting him know what he means to him. And a lot of times we don't address or give that impression to other people, other brothers and sisters. Like I said, Paul is giving thanks to Philemon for what he meant to him, his continued service to Jesus, our Savior. Another thing this sounds like, as I was reading through this and thinking about this in this first portion and even the other two sections, is if you remember when the disciples asked Jesus to teach us how to pray. There's some similarities here too, because one of the things you do when Jesus said teach us how to pray is you give praise. Obviously, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You're giving praise and glory to God and thanks. Paul, I think it was Paul that wrote, give thanks always. Can't remember where it's at, but I'm pretty sure I think it was Paul that said, give thanks always. We need to have a thankful heart and present that. And we usually, even in the Lord's Prayer, you look at the structure of that, it's at the top, it's at the beginning. And then you go down in the middle, it's a portion about, you know, forgiveness. Forgive my debts as I forgive those that indebted me, or something like that. I'm sorry, getting that messed up. Well, that kind of brings us into the next portion of what Paul is writing. He's getting down to okay, we're getting down to the crux of the matter, why Paul is actually writing the letter. And this part is from 8 through 16. And I kind of looked at it as disciple or shepherd that person to the concern or issue. How can you help them? And so let's go through that. 8 through 16. Take a look at this. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper. Now, that's interesting. To order you. Now, this comes back to the fact that Paul, being an apostle, had the authority of the church to order Philemon to release Onesimus of the problem that he had with Philemon. So Paul does bring that up. He had the authority. Yet, for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. Since I am such a person as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I kind of like his appeal because he appeals with love, age, and his situation. we all kind of do that in a way. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. Now he's down to the point of why the letter and what's going on. Whom I fathered in my imprisonment. There is the salvation that he brought. He led Onesimus to Christ. Whom I fathered in imprisonment. Again, we do not know how these two crossed paths, but they did. It was in God's divine intervention or whatever to get them to cross paths, and now we have Onesimus, believer in Christ, who previously was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. Now, if I'm Philemon, I'm thinking, how is he useful to me? Other than as a brother in Christ, how is he useful to me? He stole from me and he took off. But we know he's a changed person. So that's what he's bringing out. I have sent him back to you in person. That is, sending my very heart. Really expresses Paul's feelings for Onesimus. You know, it's like I'm sending my own heart back to you through this gentleman. That's how much Paul believed in and had faith in Onesimus and his faith in Christ and his walk in Christ, his service. Whom I wanted to keep with me so that in your behalf he might be my service in my imprisonment for the gospel. Now we're really getting down into the letter, because Paul actually wanted to keep. He says it right here, I want to keep Onesimus. I want to keep him with me. I want him to do what he's doing for me while I'm in prison and what he's doing for Christ while I'm in prison. Paul had the authority. He didn't have to write Philemon and request this. He could have just kept him and off you go. Remember, we know this. Communication is a lot different. I mean, letters are almost a going by thing. Everything's by phone, teleconference, in person. Gosh, you can even jump on a plane and fly there real quick and talk to somebody if it's that important. A lot of stuff is face-to-face. I shouldn't say face-to-face, because I know in work, I always liked to go, if I had something to do at work and I wanted to talk to somebody, I like to go and see them and talk to them. I can't believe how many people would rather hide behind their computer and send a text and do the communication through that. I'd rather be face-to-face, but that's me. I'm old school. I'm getting like my grandparents. Maybe I shouldn't say that. That commercial? Well, no, we won't go there. lose track of where I'm at. But the line of communication is different. But Paul saw and felt enough to say, and respect for Philemon to say, listen, this is what I'd like to do. However, this gentleman has wronged you. Let's address it. Let's put it, you know, let's put it to bed and let's do it the right way. In a way that will not harm. What's unique is, like, again, Paul had the ability. Philemon may never have known that Onesimus was working with him. But Paul did the right thing in addressing and making sure that if it did come to him, if he did find out and nothing was said, there could be animosity that developed or built up in that situation and could be bad. So he addressed it up front. Let's not put it, shove it beside and hope nothing happens. Let's address it and take care of it. And Paul's doing it in an approach that, as we'll see, leaving that decision up to Philemon, even though he's requesting it. Let's go on, see more on it. Whom I wanted to keep with me, well, we already talked about that. But I did not want to do anything without your consent. There it is. He wants Philemon's permission to do this, and it wants it to be his decision, not authoritative type press decision that he'd have to go for. Gosh, I lose my track. No consent. So that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, in other words, by the force or by authority, but on your own free will. Again, not to be forced into that decision, but also, but, you know, allow him to make that free choice to let, you know, forgive him of his indebtedness to him, and allow Paul to keep him. For perhaps it was this reason that he was separated from you for a while. Well, that's interesting. There's God's divine intervention. How often do we get into a situation and we think something, you know, something's happened, this is terrible, and it's not going the right way, or nothing's happening, and then a month, 2 months, 3 months down the road, who knows, time period, could be a couple hours. Whoa, it all turned out great. It worked in the manner that God wanted it to work. And now he has a dedicated servant in Onesimus working with Paul in serving Christ. And I can imagine Philemon, you know, a slave takes off, he stole from me. Yikes. I'd be a little upset. I would not expect... I hate to say that. I would not expect at that point that he'd turn to Christ and become this servant of Jesus. But you never know. That's the unique thing. We never know. Finish off. Okay. That you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. What a point. Especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, in essence, and I list this as discipleship or shepherding, because again, you look at the level of maturity, and Paul is addressing Philemon, and in the issue, he's leading him in a manner that is Christ-like. He's also pointing out that how we can act in a sinful situation. Let me rephrase that. I'm not saying it very well. Slavery is a terrible thing. Terrible, terrible. Taking somebody's life and forcing them, that's just... Now, it's... I'd have to go back all those years back. Slavery is a little different to the way we look at it today. Guys, how do I say this? Paul taught quite a bit about slavery and how to work with it. You're the master. Treat them the way they should be treated, as your master, God, would treat you. love them as you would love a brother or a sister. So a lot of them were taken care of very well. Probably a lot of them loved, I hate to say that, the situation that they were in, if they were treated right. So anyways, the point is, even in a bad worldly situation, we can still act Christ-like in that situation. And Philemon, he was directing him in the sense of, this is how we need to work with our, you know, the situation that you have, the people that are working for you. Gosh, in essence, we're all slaves to the job we do. We're all enslaved to the dollar bill to live and so on. It's terrible. But how we can live in that type of situation and still honor God and present God in our life and how we treat people and deal with things. So he appealed to Philemon and almost turned it to a point where, okay, this is what I want, but it's your decision, your free will. Let's go. So then we wrap it up, verses 17 through 21. And I kind of titled it, Express Confidence in Them. In them meaning those people that you're dealing with. In this case, it's Philemon and Onesimus. If then you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Now, when I first read that, I'm thinking monetarily, you know, I'll pay you back, so on and so forth. But as I think about that, take what Onesimus did and put it on Paul's account, the apostle. It kind of similar to what Christ did for us. Jesus goes to the cross to pay the price for the world's sins. Yours, mine, everybody's sin. So it was all imputed onto Christ. And through that, and through your acceptance of Jesus as your Savior, we are now seen through God, through Jesus. God sees us through Jesus and his blood. We're clean. So it was imputed to Christ. Well, Paul is asking Philemon to impugn his wrong onto Paul. Now, I'm not putting Paul in the light of Jesus. Not at all. He's an apostle. But it kind of goes to the line of forgiveness. Flat out. If you, we need to have that forgiveness in things that have happened and in events and move forward. See, a lot of people get embittered because they can't let go of something, some circumstance or something. And this is really talking about how, you know, let it go. If you have to, put it on me, but let it go. And that's kind of what Paul is saying here. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Paul is kind of pointing out the fact that, you know, a little bit of the past. Look what I've done for you. Help me out a little bit here. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Jesus, or in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. He is expressing total confidence in Philemon and the decision that he'll make. Now, through these little hints and stuff and what we have in Colossians 4 that Paul wrote to the Colossians, we have a little hint of what happens with Onesimus. It appears that Philemon does release him, allows him to stay with Paul, and in Colossians 4, 7 through 9, we have As to all my affairs, Tiresias, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is the one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here. So Onesimus ends up being with Paul. Philemon ends up releasing him. And we have this beautiful little letter, very small, 24 verses, I think it was, expressing kind of the interaction between brothers and sisters of Christ and in the church, and the development and the unique usage that God has with different people. And we see that all through the scripture. I find it fascinating. Onesimus mentioned a couple times, but we have no idea totally what all came about. If you look up Onesimus in Wikipedia, they do talk about him. They mention that he was part of Philemon. They kind of deny that he was a slave. I don't know why, but they tie him into later in life. Age-wise seems to fit what they're talking about. He ends up being a leader in a church in Ephraim. But that where they got their information based on scripture, this is all we know. I don't know if it's the same Onesimus or not. If you look in Wikipedia, they're not even sure either, but there is an Onesimus that becomes a leader in a church in Ephraim. But there we have it. I didn't go too long, did I? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to wrap up with a song. So pray with me. Dear Lord, what a joy again to spend some time in your word. I often think, during the week we get so bogged down in all the stuff that's going on, or we can allow ourselves to get bogged down so much in what's going on in this world. And it's not a pretty sight. But yet we can come at any time, but especially now, get together with brothers and sisters, enjoy some conversation, fellowship, and delve into your word to see little things that we can do to help us in our inner reactions, our inner relations, and just support each other as we go through so many different things. As we definitely know, the trials and challenges, some pretty heavy, but you're always there, and we can always come to you. This is all available to us through your Son. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.